Good morning, Melissa. You might recall that the Germans beat the United States 1-0 in the group stage, and they have now, by the same score, 1-0, emerged as the world champions over Argentina. I think they're a fitting champion. During the tournament, they were the best team, top to bottom in terms of roster and play and performance, highlighted, of course, by the 7-1 thrashing of Brazil in the semifinals.
And Brazil just devastated. The photos of people crying in Brazil.
Well, again, this we are sort of new to this in the United States. But imagine taking all of the most important sporting events, let's say the top five most important sporting events for your teams, whether it's college or pro, what have you, rolling it into one, hosting the world in that event, and expecting to win and then not winning.
Yeah, huge letdown.
Maybe that would approach how they're feeling in Brazil. And, of course, Brazil will be hosting the Summer Olympics as well coming up here in a couple of years. So there's going to be a lot of attention on Brazil, and there already has been with all the political protests based on spending money on stadiums rather than spending it on infrastructure there in the country. It was not one of the, we saw a lot of high-scoring games throughout the course of this World Cup. That was not a high-scoring game at all yesterday. But the goal that was scored was just a fantastic goal. Mario Götze, who was able to put it in, play the ball off his chest before he hit the ground, put his left foot to it, and got it past the goalkeeper. So it was a terrific goal to score to win it. Speaking of soccer, the Armada announced on Friday that they're going to play their home matches at the baseball grounds for at least the next 3 years. So I did a little exploratory trip down to Tampa on Saturday to see what it looked like having a soccer match played on a baseball field. The Tampa Bay Rowdies, who are in the Armada's league.
That's a great name, by the way. Rowdies.
Yes, and I will say that that Ralph's Mob, which is their supporters group, certainly lives up to the rowdy connotation.
We need a support group with a name like that.
Well, there are already some support groups that are bubbling up, including one called the First Coast Syndicate.
There you go.
And we're seeing that start
that
to take
menacing.
Shape.
Sounds menacing.
It is.
I like that.
Their logo has this big, like, giant octopus and the tagline, give no quarter. So they've already got the spirit of the thing going. But so I went down to Tampa, and they play at Al Lang Stadium in St. Pete is actually where they play. Here's some of my observations. Their field configuration is going to be different than it will be at the baseball grounds, most notably because of the way that the seating is set up. At the baseball grounds, if you've been to a game at the Suns, the seating goes basically from beyond third base, wraps around behind home plate, goes all the way out down the right field line, and then into right center field with the bleachers. So that gives you basically three sides worth of seating. Well, they only have two, and they're kind of shorter there in Tampa. And they did do something that the Armada would like to do and are trying to work out the right way to do it, which is put a large number of seats in the outfield that would basically wind up being field side seating that would allow people to, and that's where we sat. And it's a great place to watch the match as well. The atmosphere there, good if you were right there amid Ralph's Mob. To give them some benefit of the doubt, it was a rainy day and it had rained off and on, and actually rained during the match a little bit. It's in a great neighborhood right there on the waterfront in St. Pete, so there's a lot of bars and restaurants around for folks to before or after the match enjoy. But they only have 800 season ticket holders in Tampa.
Oh, really?
Already in Jacksonville, the Armada has signed up 2,000 season ticket reservations. They'll be in the process of converting those into season ticket owners here in the coming weeks. So that certainly provides, I think, much more of an atmosphere for what's going to happen. At the baseball grounds, it'll be about 9,300 will be the attendance, something in that, depending on the on-field seating.
Uh-huh.
So I think you're going to see a much bigger kind of excitement. But I can tell you that if you play on a baseball field, if you lay it out there in the right way, it still will feel it'll feel like a sporting event.
Sure.
And that's what you want out of the thing.
Well, it's exciting to know where they will play. The World Cup is great timing for the Armada. Here's hoping they have great success here on the First Coast.
Yeah, they've had great momentum, and the timing couldn't be better. I think you're right.
Absolutely. Now, across the parking lot from Suns Park, 10 days away from the start of Jaguars training camp already. My gosh.
Yeah, it's sneaking up here in a hurry. All but one rookie has already signed their deal. Wide receiver Marquise Lee, a second-round pick, has not signed his contract, but nobody seems to be too concerned about a holdout. Lee should get signed up in the next week or so and be in camp as expected. And then, of course, all attention will be paid on a guy who isn't likely to start, and that's Blake Bortles, to see how the quarterback does here in his first training camp. The other football inside, the Sharks play tonight at the arena. They're guaranteeing a victory. Joe, actually, more
guaranteeing
than,
it.
Guaranteed. More than Joe Namath style. Joe Namath said, I guarantee we're going to win the game.
Yeah.
And but he didn't put anything against that guarantee other than delivering on it. But if the Sharks don't beat New Orleans tonight, everybody who bought a ticket for the game will get a free ticket for the season finale against the LA Kiss, which is Gene Simmons'
team. Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Yeah. Will Gene Simmons make a personal appearance,
I don't
though?
Know. You know, you've got the rock and roll thing, you know, with Vince Neil. And so I'm not sure if he's going to show up or
cool.
not. But I will tell you that the Sharks owner, Jeff Bushy, has in the past been known to put on the Kiss outfit.
Yeah.
And, you know,
full makeup, the
full
whole
makeup,
thing?
Full makeup, the whole thing, particularly when there's, you know, Halloween in June or something.
Wow.
And, we'll see if he strikes that with the opposing team coming in. As the Kiss. Probably not this time around.
Kiss is in the Rock Hall of Fame now.
They are.
It is
yeah.
a fact. All right. Well, that's exciting. And back over to Suns Park. Well, as we wait on the Armada to play there, the Suns will be playing there Wednesday.
Yeah. And in fact, that starts a 10-game homestand. Suns are just a game out of first place in the second half standings. The fireworks coming up on Friday and the whole bit. So nice long stretch here before football season starts to grab your attention that you might be able to check out the Suns.
Now, last but not least, let's talk about LeBron James.
Yeah, so this was on Friday, this was the announcement. It's interesting, he went the other direction from what he did the first time when he made the decision. He had the televised interview and he sat down and famously said he was taking his talents to South Beach.
Yep.
Here is a guy from Akron, the Cleveland area, returning home to Cleveland. And instead of doing, we got a lot of criticism for doing the decision and the big show for it. Simply sat down with a Sports Illustrated writer and told his side of it, and it took, I don't know, it was maybe a 600-word response of, I'm going back to Cleveland. And now there's been a number of different things that have come out of that. So after 4 years in Miami, four straight NBA Finals appearances, two championships, he signs just a two-year contract in Cleveland, which was a little bit unusual. We didn't know at the time on Friday that it was just a two-year deal.
Yeah, that is short.
Yeah, and I think that says as much about James's confidence in the owner of the Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, as anything. Gilbert had written an impassioned letter that sounded more like it was coming from a spurned lover than anything when LeBron left the first time.
Well, but isn't Cleveland a spurned lover when it comes to LeBron James?
It's interesting. Right now, Cleveland, you got LeBron coming back. You've got Johnny Manziel up there. So there's certainly a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Whether it turns out to bring Cleveland a championship for the first time since Jim Brown is another thing.
And will the Cleveland fans accept LeBron back? They were so hurt when he rolled out of town.
Yeah, and you know, burning the jerseys was a famous thing we saw. Not only will they have Cleveland's already sold out of their season tickets.
Oh my gosh. So there's your answer.
There's your answer. Getting LeBron back in a hurry certainly is going to be something that, now again, the question is going to be, after 2 years, what happens? Are we going through this again? Is LeBron saying, all right, you know, I've won a championship in Cleveland. You guys should be happy. Now I'm going to go play for the Lakers or somebody.
We'll have to keep tabs on that. But in the meantime, always great to see you. And thanks for being here. As always, every Monday, always fun to talk to you. He's Cole Pepper. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Melissa.